It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome, everyone, to Game Over Vancouver. I am your host, Clay Emo. I am Canuck Clay on a night where the Vancouver Canucks defeated the New York Rangers 5-3 at Madison Square Garden. It is the first show for me of the year, and I will work out all the kinks just like the Canucks did in their first game of the year earlier. But now they've won two straight after knocking off New Jersey on the weekend, and now the New York Rangers. A 5-3 game, had a lot of really great goals, some good goaltending. So a really good energy. You put one of the top teams in the West against one of the top teams in the East, and there is a lot to like about this game. So I have a good friend of mine, a former boss of mine. I'm not sure if he's willing to admit that he's going to join me in about a minute. But before we get going, now that I'm back in the saddle and now that I'm going here, I want to invite you to do a couple things. Like this video, like the fact that the Canucks won, like the fact that the Canucks are battling Winnipeg atop the Western Conference, and they are opening up, believe it or not, they're opening up a lead in the Pacific Division. You can also subscribe to this channel, SDPN, where we cover all seven Canadian teams with post-game shows. And hit the notification bell if you want to be notified of these shows, reminded of these shows. But the most important thing to do is subscribe to SDPN, like this video. And if you want, you can also follow me. I'm at Canuck Clay, both here on YouTube and on X/Twitter. As well. But I don't want it just to be me talking tonight. I do want to bring in someone, like I said, who I've worked with, I've known for almost a decade now, and he's doing such amazing work as the managing editor of Daily Hive. And I'll let him talk a bit about his work and his thoughts on the game, this team, and where we go from here. So please welcome everyone, my good friend, Mr. Rob Williams. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Hey, Clay, what a game. I picked a good night to make my post-game debut here on your show. This is great. What an awesome showing by the Canucks tonight.
It was. And before we get into the game, I'm so grateful that you're joining me tonight, Rob. I've asked you for a couple of years now, and because of your media credentials and everything you have to do, you are often at the arena, so an away game made sense. So why don't you, before we talk about this game, why don't you tell everyone what you do, especially for Daily Hive, and how that works for you?
Yeah, I wasn't positive enough about the team to come on your show until now. I'm the national sports editor of Daily Hive. Cover Canucks and whatever else is interesting to people, sports related in Vancouver, as well as Daily Hive is in five Canadian cities now. So we're in Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, Montreal, and we have a whole team of guys, sports writers that cover the team, different teams across the country.
Awesome. When you say national editor, you said five cities in Canada. So you are also technically in charge of those other four markets. Is that correct?
Yeah, listen to me.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you're probably a good boss to me when you got me started off at Daily Hive, or Van City Buzz as it was called back in the day. So yeah. I am very grateful that you are here for sure. And by the way, I think you know we've had some Daily Hive writers and content creators on here, including I think Trevor most recently, and yeah. Who else has been on? Well, I don't want to put you on the spot either. It's okay. We worry about today. So before we get into the specific plays, what do you think? What were your thoughts coming into this game? What were your hopes for this game for the Canucks? And overall, did they exceed those expectations for you for tonight specifically?
Yeah, I mean, other than getting outshot, which I don't know if that told the whole story of this game. It didn't seem like a game where they were necessarily under siege. I think, Demko had to be great in a few spots, certainly. But if you look at the goals that they scored, I mean, did they score an ugly goal tonight? I mean, maybe the empty netter wasn't a beauty, maybe, but the other five were just outstanding, highlight reel type goals. I thought that they were exceptional in this one. The Canucks also, I think the one thing that's kind of hung around them, other than the whole talk of the PDO and the puck luck that they've been getting, has been, okay, well, they've got a lot of wins against some bottom feeders, right? And they've taken care of them, and that's all you can do. But they haven't necessarily racked up a ton of wins against top teams. The Rangers are one of the best teams in the National Hockey League this season, a top five team in the standings, one of the favorites to come out of the East and make some noise in the playoffs. So this was a really tough test for the Canucks. To me, this is a statement game, the way they played. And I think it's also going to be a statement game in terms of media attention, given that there was only one Canadian team playing tonight. It was the Canucks, given the fact that they played at 4 p.m. Pacific. You could just see like the reaction from the Eastern media, who say they always claim that they stay up late to watch the games, but you don't see them reacting to so much on Twitter as you do tonight. So I think this is a big statement game under the bright lights in MSG, and they were able to pull through and put through a really impressive performance against a very good team.
Great point, Rob, about it being a statement game. And yeah, you're right. They lost to the Rangers here. They got blitzed by Vegas here. They split the season series with Dallas. So they haven't even played LA and Boston yet. So there hasn't been a lot of domination yet, and they've taken care of who they need to take care of. So you're right. This was a really, really good start. And yeah, this road trip overall, we won't get into too much, but isn't that tough. So it's great after laying that egg against St. Louis last week that they've now won two straight against New Jersey and New York. Okay, let's get into the goals. So just for everyone watching, thank you for being here. They're already peaking at 75 people in here. My number just shot up in front of me. It's like my weight. It went up to 82 now. So that's pretty good. So there's 80 of you in here. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. And this is what we're going to do. Rob and I are going to break down the game, the goals, especially because so many nice goals to talk about on both sides for the first 15, 20 minutes. Then for the second part of the show, we'll talk about just where the Canucks team sits in terms of the mega powers across the league and what they may have to do to ensure that they're sniffing around the top of the league when it comes to playoff time. And then, of course, the third segment will be the SDPN presser, where we'll fire three or four questions at Rob coming from all of you. So you are welcome to ask questions in the chat right now. I may not get to it because we do have a lot to get to, but definitely at the end of the show, I'll be asking you to resubmit those questions as well. All right, sounds good. So Rob, starts off good for the Rangers, a early power play and a crazy goal. Just a crazy goal. Demko had no stick. He was on his back. No one knew who was covering who. And Trocheck, Panarin, Zibanejad, Fox, and I don't know who their fifth guy is. That's a pretty good unit.
Yeah, best power play in the NHL. And that was a funny one because there was a lot of like fortunate bounces on that, right? Like I think it hit a discarded stick at one point and, took a couple bounces right to Rangers players, but at the same time they were moving the puck around so quickly and were able to adjust and kind of do that cross seam pass, and when the puck went in you kind of thought, oh boy. And how about the atmosphere at Madison Square Garden? Like that just looked like an unbelievable atmosphere, even when the Rangers were losing and they scored the five, what was it, the 5-3 goal. They roared, and it's like, it's probably too little too late, but yeah, that goal was kind of like made you go, okay, this might be a tough night, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that is only 3.5 minutes in. You're right. But then just a minute later, not even, it's the Lotto line. And it's a really nice play from Besser, bringing it up to the blue line on his forehand, ringing it around with speed. Pettersson, one touch with speed to Miller in the slot. And that was just a beautiful display of their skill. It was a sign of things to come, but a really good bounce back goal by the team.
Yeah, I called it a natural lotto line goal because it was 6-40-9,
Very
right?
nice. Don't let Thomas Drance hear
But
that.
yeah, no, I mean, what a response, right? Like they're still calling, they're still announcing the goal in MSG, and you get the response with that kind of a goal. Great ring around the boards from Besser to Pettersson, just like you say, a one touch right out to Miller and unleashes that great one-timer of his and blows it by Shesterkin, and to just have, and then of course Miller, that's got to feel a little bit extra good playing one of his former teams, score back in MSG, like just the perfect response.
Yeah, and Miller was a beast. I know they talked about it in the first intermission. I'm not sure if you saw it, how he trucked Keandre Miller once. I think it was Trocheck or someone else later in the period. He was all over the place, very motivated. And then just 2 minutes later, it's Nils Höglander getting his first of two. Hughes makes a really nice play through the neutral zone, gets the puck over the blue line, and that fourth line combines a nice little give tic-tac-toe. Lafferty, Nils Åman looks up and sees Höglander alone, and it was a one-timer, right? He just kind of snapped it above Shesterkin. I can't even say the guy's name.
Yeah, that it was a bit of a tricky one, I think, to one time. It was kind of, kind of in his feet. He kind of had to adjust his stick and his body to be able to get that. But he gets all of it on it, just like just roofs it right away and was able to put it in the net. I think he made it look a little bit easier than it was. But yeah, just a great goal by Höglander there.
Right. And that's the skill, Rob, that Canucks fans are clamoring for. He's on such a good contract, and if he can outplay that contract, it's so important for this team. 11 goal, like that was his 11th. He gets his 12th later, which is even nicer. But yeah, that's kind of what we want from guys like Kuzmenko, I think. So it's 2-1, and then before the period ends with just 16 seconds remaining, yeah, this was a beautiful play. I thought this was going to stand up as the nicest goal of the game, but it's got some competition. It's a Quinn Hughes from his own zone off the boards to Petey. And then I keep saying beautiful, but how else can you explain it? A nice feather pass past the defender to Besser, and he shows his not just a snapshot or a wrist shot. He can score with some dangles as well. What'd you think of that one?
Yeah, I don't like when I'm on Twitter, I don't like react to every goal. I'm not like, oh my God, what a goal. But like tonight, it felt like it was just like, what an incredible, like this is unreal. But yeah, like that great stretch pass to, and Pettersson just kind of delays and just kind of waits for that seam to open up, gives it to Besser, and then just a perfect finish. Yeah, what else can you say? Like it's just another one of the, like every goal was a beautiful goal tonight. It was incredible.
So I tweeted about the goal as well. Then I said, a couple of observations after the first period is that great pace to the game. That was very entertaining, regardless of who's winning 3-1. I said, our D look big when you have Soucy joining Zadorov and Myers and Cole, who's not tall, but he's thick. So there's some good beef on the blue line, like a kind of a playoff type blue line. And then I said, maybe this is a preview of the Stanley Cup final. And then I said, actually, maybe that's getting a little bit too far ahead of ourselves.
It could be Clay. Like this, I mean,
30 years later, 30 years later.
I like the way this team's playing right now. Like you look at the Canucks and their forecheck. I don't recall the last time that we saw a Canucks team forecheck like this. Like it's just, and they've got four lines deep that they can come at you in waves. I know not every line was really firing on all cylinders tonight necessarily, but you're seeing that, and I think that's why, I give Rick Tocchet a lot of time for his reluctance to play Kuzmenko right now. He's like, if he's not forechecking, right? Like, and I think he needs that engine to be going. And if you have one cog not doing what they should, it doesn't work, right? So he's got everyone rolling right now, and playing that style of game.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in the second segment, just why the team is doing so well. And thank you. A couple people correcting me, or at least advised me that Kreider is the fifth member of the Rangers power play. Of course he is. Of course. They start off the second period, and it's New York who opens the scoring once again in the period. A bit of a lazy pass from Besser at the blue line, and this is the one that sends Lafreniere away, and he drops it to Panarin, and he beats. I noticed with Demko, he's letting in a couple. I'm not worried, but he's letting in a couple more goals from the slot, almost uncontested. And this is one of them. And everyone that scores in Demko, they seem to score high on him, as Krocek did later. But what'd you think of this goal? No big deal. Were you scared now? Because this made it cut the lead to 3-2.
I don't know if I was overly worried. I mean, it makes it a game again, certainly. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that, yeah, it was just, it was a wild, you know, wild second period with like a lot of chances back and forth. It, you know, became a bit of fire wagon hockey at times in this game.
Yeah.
And the Panarin goal didn't worry me so much on Demko. It was more the Trocheck one, I think, was you know, one that we probably would like to have back.
Yeah. And we'll get to that one. Yeah, you're right. The Rangers opened the scoring in all three periods. So I'm going to let you take this one. I'll set it up for you. Hronek, a nice pass to Bluger in front of the bench. Bluger, a quick pass to Petey as Petey gains speed over the blue line. Take it from here, Rob, the hockey guy.
Oh, geez. Where are we here? So, what goal are we on?
So this is goal number four. This is the one where he walked the defender.
Too many goals.
Yeah, I know. But this is the one where Petey, not to put you on the spot, where Petey walked the guy and did that really nice.
Oh, yeah. But, just the you know, I just had that do your deeks, you know, thing like in my head immediately. Like, just Pettersson was just quick hands, like all night. He was doing it all night, but it really was on display on that goal in the second period, mm-hmm. where he just kind of, you know, dangles one guy, the goalie makes the first save, and he kind of deeks around him and kind of tucks it in, you know, into the goal from going around the goalie. So, just fantastic. Yeah. What else can you say?
Now, I know you're a good hockey player. I've never played against you, but I know of you. I've seen your stat line. You know that I am just a good dad, just trying to get some exercise when I'm out there, when I'm not rupturing my Achilles tendon. I would have never had the wherewithal to have, I wouldn't have been able to deke that first guy and even get the first shot off. But for him to then gather the rebound, go around Shesterkin, knowing he's going to get cross-checked in the back, and then to bring it back in front, like that, talk to me how much skill that takes, because I know you know how to play hockey, yeah.
I can't stick handle like that or even close to it. But yeah, no, I mean, it's just instinctual for Pettersson, isn't it? Like he gets the puck on a stick and that's just, he's just doing it without thinking, right? Like he's not thinking, you know, like it's not like he has to think about it, right? He just kind of just does it. And you know, that's the mark of someone with, you know, elite skill as Pettersson.
Yeah. So I thought the Besser goal was nice, Rob. Then I thought the PD goal was nicer. And then, I don't know, this Hoglander goal, Hronek, again, a nice pass up to Suter. Suter comes in on his backhand, draws both defensemen over and ships it over to cross crease to Hoglander, who then puts it between his own legs and then scores. Kind of sweeps the puck past Shesterkin. Maybe Shesterkin was kind of mesmerized by that play through his legs, but that was beautiful. I was yelling at this point. I was yelling.
Yeah, you know, so quickly after the Pettersson goal as well, to really put their stamp on the game.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really smart play by Suter, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a one-on-two. He kind of drags two Rangers players towards him. He just kind of patiently just kind of turns, stops, and finds Hoglander who has space to do that kind of that little between the legs. Yeah. Move to give himself even more space and score. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's your, what, that's your, I guess that's Suter. I don't know what line is which anymore, but, but, you know, a couple different guys on different lines, but to have your depth players really contributing like Hoglander did tonight, scoring his 12th goal. I mean, he's gonna, you know, he's on pace for what, 20, 24, 25 goals now.
Yeah.
You know, what a fantastic season for Hoglander. Hopefully you can keep it up. And I just love the way he plays, not even just with the puck on his stick, but the way he's so tenacious on the puck and the way he plays physical and drives the other team, you know, bananas sometimes. Is, you know, really great to see from Hoglander.
Yeah, and the confidence or the swagger or whatever adjective you want to use to pull that off. And maybe, I don't know how quickly you can think about this. Maybe he knows they're up 4-2, or maybe that's his only play. I don't know, but It was just so impressive. And yeah, it got me.
But I mean, I think that's that move from Hoglander, that's not like a, that's an easy move for him, right?
Right.
Like just, and it's, again, it's a little bit instinctual. It's just like, I think it's almost like a basketball player that puts the ball behind their back on their dribble, right? It's
that's
just
right.
Like, it's just gives yourself a little bit more space and gives you kind of like your body as a, you know, kind of a blocker to be able to give yourself more space and protect the puck and protect the ball.
Yeah. Good. Actually, that's a great analogy about an instinctual play for a basketball player. It'd be like my son bowling, you know, between his legs, you know, something that just not everyone can do, but it's instinctual for sure. Awesome. So it's 5-2. We're laughing. You and I meet for our tech test over the intermission. We're saying, we're not guaranteeing a Canucks win just yet. And sure enough, just like the other two periods, the Rangers open the scoring, get the first goal of the third period. And this was early. So you're right. It wasn't like we had the game in the bag. This was only 3.5 minutes in. And a really good Lafreniere showing his hockey IQ tonight with two really good assists. And this is Trocheck just blowing it by Demko coming down the left boards.
Yeah, I think it's one that Demko would like to have back. I think that's one that when he's really at the top of his game, as he was earlier in the season, I think he has that, you know, he makes that save.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels wrong to be, you know, slagging Demko at all tonight, you know, given the amount of shots that the Rangers put up on him. You know, the Rangers had 42 shots on goal tonight. So like it's by no means a poor effort from Demko, but that's one I think we're used to seeing him stop. But, you know, the Rangers have firepower, and Trocheck, you know, that's his 12th goal of the season. So, you know, he knows how to score goals in this league also. But yeah, I do wonder, like, it's, you know, there's a lot of, at that point, there's a lot of the third period left. And I think I felt pretty comfortable still with the Canucks. If they give up if they give up the fourth goal and make it 5-4, now look out. But I think at 5-3, still feeling pretty comfortable. I think the thing that made me feel a little less comfortable, and I wonder if this plays into the psyche a little bit, I mean, it must at some level with the players, where you just hear that crowd, like I was talking about with at MSG, that crowd just roars, you know, like, that was a roar of a crowd that thought they can come back here, right? Yeah. Like nobody had given up hope in the stands in that game. And you just wonder, then I know I go on about these random things, and it's just what I do, but like the goal horn at MSG, how good is that goal horn? How good is that goal song that they have with them? I don't even know what you call it. It's like their own like Rangers goal song that they've had forever. It must be what a life it must be being a Rangers fan, where you don't debate the goal song and you don't debate the jerseys. You just like roll out the same thing for 100 years. But my point is the goal song made everyone nervous. I don't know what I'm talking about this, but yeah, I think the Canucks they're still in control at that point, right? And last year's team would have crumbled and given up the lead in the third period if they were so lucky to have one. But this year's team's built differently, right? Like they haven't blown a lead coming into the third period yet this season.
Yeah, 23-0 or whatever the stat is. That's pretty cool. And that's a really good point, Rob, about the momentum and how maybe because the goal was so early, and you're right, it was a raucous environment there. The previous three Canucks wins, San Jose at home, Ottawa at home, and then New Jersey away, where the Canucks had big leads, and then the opposing team scored one or two to make it. I was never nervous with the San Jose because they're San Jose. I wasn't even nervous about Ottawa, and I certainly wasn't nervous about New Jersey, given they were missing all their firepower. But tonight I was a bit nervous. I can't sit here and say a guaranteed win. I had my tweet and my drafts ready about you and me talking about a big Canucks win, but I just make sure I didn't press send like too early. But yes, and then the Canucks, they did, but they've done 22 other times this season. They protect that third period lead. PD salts it with the empty net. We don't have to talk too much about that. And it's I keep saying 5-3 victory is a 6-3 victory. I kept forgetting about the empty netter. So 6-3, a doubling of the Rangers. And it sends the Canucks to 55 points. It sends the Canucks to a record of 15 games over 500. That's the 55 minus the 40 games played. And they're 26-11-3, which is pretty cool. They are now, as of now, second in the Western Conference behind Winnipeg, and second overall in the league behind Winnipeg by points. We don't have to worry about points versus points percentage now. All the teams are close enough. Oh,
First place, you know, the biggest part though is first place in the Pacific Division, and they've got a 4-point cushion on Vegas right now. Like, that is going to be huge. If they could finish first in the Pacific and avoid LA and Vegas in the first round, I think that would be, pretty big for the Canucks. So that's the big one. The first in the league is kind of a cool thing to look at, but I think first in the Pacific is the one that really matters.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
And that's a perfect segue, Rob, to our second segment, where we're going to talk about the Canucks looking ahead to the playoffs and what kind of roster moves they may have to do. But before we get to that, I have a really interesting question for, well, I think it's interesting. You just mentioned that if you finish first, you avoid the 2 or 3 hole, and it's going to be either LA or Vegas. What happens though? Do you have any time for the argument of, but heck, I don't want to play the Edmonton Oilers if the wild card versus number one is not guaranteed, that you're in your own division, but it could happen. Do you worry about the Oilers at all? And the second part of my question is, do you think the Oilers could actually catch one of the Canucks, Knights, or Kings before the season ends?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. And I think that the Oilers would definitely be a tough out. Like, McDavid and Draisaitl should scare you at any time. But at the same time, I just feel like they've got a lot of question marks with that team, right? Like, they've had an up and down season, to say the least.
Yeah.
That's more of a team I feel like is a bit more vulnerable when it comes to playoff time. They're not confident in their goaltending.
Right.
You know, there's a few warts there that I think that they could expose. The thing that worries me about LA is you've got Kopitar and you've got Danault, and you've two Selke level centers. And you've also got Dubois. What a power up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you just worry, like, wow, they could just shut down the Canucks, you know. I was always thinking about the top two lines with Miller and Pettersson playing on separate lines. You know, they're well positioned to shut down the Canucks top guns in that way. And if you're loading up just one line, I think, like, you know, with the Lotto line, I think that they're vulnerable again for that. If you're looking at Edmonton, I don't know that there's a team, you know, that they are a team where you're like, oh, they're going to shut us down. They're just going to try to trade chances, right?
Right.
And I think that the Canucks are deeper. I think they're probably a little better on defense, you know, and they're definitely better in goal. So I think there's those. And then Vegas, I mean, obviously Vegas, the reasons for scaring you should be obvious, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Stanley Cup champs, they've already shown they can get it done. Aiden Hill's been excellent in goal. So that's, you know, that was the concern going into the playoffs last season. There's not that concern this season. They're big, they're mean, they're tough. You know, like, there's a lot of things that should be concerning about that. But man, how nice is it we're in January and we're talking about playoff matchups?
Yes.
Like, this feels like we're in make-believe land. It's been so long since we've been able to do this.
That's a really good point. When, Stuart Skinner has 16 wins, he's near the top of the league, but it doesn't seem right. Like, if you have to pick one guy that doesn't fit in between right now, Demko, Talbot, Hill, and Skinner, I'd pick Skinner as well. So I agree with you about their goaltending. So let me ask you a 2 or 3 questions, Rob, just setting up this whole thought of, you're right, 40 games in, so we're one more game to the halfway point. We are on 112 point pace. So you win first in the Pacific. You get home ice advantage for the first two rounds. So all these things that the Canucks can have, you know, in their crosshairs. Let me start with this first one. A lot of talk about this lotto line. They've obviously combined for multiple points in the two games. Is it kind of to avoid what you said, getting shut down completely? You got to kind of split these guys up when it comes to playoff time and then put them together when you know that you need something or an emergency basis kind of thing. Or do you, and regular season, do you ride these guys as long as you want or do it for five or six games? Say, okay, we know what we have here. Now let's round out the team kind of sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have options, yeah. Right? And now they've got this lotto line option in their back pocket so that, you know, you never want to, you know, when they say like teams that haven't faced adversity and then they have to face adversity and it becomes really tough.
Yeah.
It's almost better to face a bit of that during the season. I think that's sort of true in this sense, in terms of if you had the set lines all season, you didn't really change them up much at all, and you get into trouble in the playoffs and you go, geez, what do we do? We're down 2-0 in the series. Do we, you know what I mean? Or you're down 3-1 in the series. What do you do? Do you shake things up and go with something that you haven't done all year? I don't think that's something that you want to be doing. So to have this now where you go, okay, the lotto line, we know that that's almost like, you know, they can load up maybe for a shift or two here. Maybe just when you need a goal in the third period, maybe that's what you do. To be able to do that and know that it works and know that it has worked, you know, within, you know, we knew it worked a few years ago, but to have it in modern day here now, I think is a really encouraging sign. I think ultimately you want to have Pettersson and Miller on separate lines. Yeah. So you're not just going all, you know, putting all your eggs in one basket. You want to at some point be thinking about having a line that matches, that's your matchup line, that can worry about the McDavids and Draisaitls of the world if you go up against them.
Yeah.
So I think having different options is definitely key, and they've got a few of those, but still I think the hope is that Kuzmenko turns it around, right? Like that Kuzmenko's kind of the wild card right now.
He is.
If he can get back to being close to the type of player that he was 1 year ago and play Rick Tocchet hockey, that's a game changer. Now you can spread it out on two lines and go from there.
It's funny, on my own shows, Rob, I would say Kuzmenko is the type of forward that you need in the playoffs, someone to score. But then I'm thinking defensively, Kuzmenko is not the type of forward that you need in the playoffs, just because we haven't seen that part of his game yet. We didn't make the playoffs last year when he had 39 goals. So are you confident that Kuzmenko is more of a net asset than a net liability when it comes to playoff time?
No. I mean, it really comes down to like, can he adjust? Can he make the adjustments and play for this coach? Like I think he wants to, I think he's trying. I think he's just having trouble, you know, adjusting, and it's playing a style that he's not necessarily used to. I think it's hard to break old habits. So from everything we've heard, it seems like he still has a good attitude about this. He's not demanding a trade. You know, those are the latest reports. So I think there's still some hope there. They've still got half a season to turn it around.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just hope that he can do it, because that's a game changer. They're missing a top six winger right now because Kuzmenko is not scoring and doing what he did 1 year ago.
Yeah. It's funny that you hear, well, all we're missing is, you know, a defenseman and a top six winger. And I'm thinking we have a few of those top six wingers. They just got to produce. So I'll jump back to the forwards in a second. I do want to ask you about the D with Carson Soucy healthy now, and it didn't happen last game because Zadorov was dinged up, but this was the first time that we saw our complete six now that Zadorov has been, Soucy's healthy and Zadorov since the Zadorov trade. And I forgot that Soucy and Myers played so much together, because I automatically thought it was going to be Zadorov, Myers, Soucy, and Cole, mm-hmm. with Cole jumping to the right. But obviously they went Soucy, Myers, and then Cole and Zadorov, with Zadorov playing on the left and Cole on the right. Do you like that lineup? Hughes, Hronek, Soucy, Myers, Zadorov, Cole. Are you fine with the fact that it's Juulsen on the outside looking in right now? And I think we know he's going to get chance to go back in. They're not going to stay healthy for the next 42 games. So overall, I guess, what do you like about the composition of our blue line? And do you think that it would behoove them to go out and get one or two more, at least one more bona fide NHL defenseman?
Yeah, I think this is, the best their D has looked in quite a while, I would say.
Yeah.
There was a part of me that was wondering, you know, would Tocchet be so hell-bent on having the lefty-righty thing that he would bench one of these guys? But, you know, just given the contracts of their top six, like there's a very clear top six and then there's a drop-off before Juulsen. Yeah. I think this is puts Juulsen in a much better spot, you know, being the number seven guy, not being an every night player. I like it. You're able to, at this point, you can, I'm not sure what pairing is going to be getting second pairing minutes versus third pairing minutes, or it's probably, my guess would be they'd probably be pretty even.
Yeah.
But now you're not in a position where you have to rely on Myers in a top four role. Hopefully Cole plays just fine on his offside, but Cole, I think, has been such an important piece that they've added this year. Like, yeah. Kind of went under the radar, I think, in the offseason. There was a lot of talk about Susie, a little bit less talk about Cole.
Yeah.
Cole's leadership, I think, has been, it just oozes out of him, right? Yeah. It's just a guy that has so much experience, so well spoken. You know, I mean, we go on this a little bit by, you know, how these guys talk in the media, right? Cole's a media darling, so, you know, take that for what it's worth. But he just seems like a guy that's I've asked Tocchet about him before, and you know, I think by all accounts, he just seems like a guy that really provides a lot of value for his leadership. Mm-hmm. Just the way he plays, a warrior out there, you know, and all of his experience. I think he's been a real key addition to the blue line. So to have him. And, you know, you don't have to have the two gunslingers and Zadorov and Myers together. Now you can put, you know, you can put a steady guy like Cole with one of them.
Yeah.
Similar, I think, is pretty steady guy back there as well. Yeah. So, yeah, I like the look of their defense a lot better with everyone healthy.
Yeah, I do like the way Susie just makes smart, subtle plays with his long reach, with his stick. I did a couple of them today as well. But great point, Rob, about an interesting point about the ice time tonight. Because with all six, no one had less than 1846. That was Susie. And no one had more than 2149. So and that was Hronek. So Hughes. So all six defensemen were within 3 minutes of each other. And I think that's awesome. That bodes so well for this team trying to stay healthy going down the stretch. I have one more question for you about just the way we're 2 months away from the trade deadline. And I think you and I agree, no one would expect the Canucks to be second team overall in the league at January 8th or whatever the day is. So are you fine? Take your reporter hat off for a second. And as a true Canucks fan, which I know you are you fine with them, whether you use the term all in or being true buyers? Or is it like, why not? We might not get in the spot again in the next 3 or 4 years. And maybe it helps Petey re-sign here. I don't know. What do you think?
He's not ready to talk until after the season. Or
yes.
I don't know. We don't know when he's ready to talk. But I don't think it's an all-in year.
Okay.
I do think they should be buyers, though. I think that there's – like, they have a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup this year. Like, that doesn't mean they're the favorites. That doesn't mean I'm betting the house on it. But – they have a legitimate chance. Like as we mentioned, you know, they're going to have a tough road within the Pacific Division. That's not a cakewalk. But I do think that they should be in a position where they're looking to add to their team at the trade deadline. Now, what does that look like? I think it really depends on what's available, what the prices are. I don't think that they should be jumping out of their boots to be, you know, acquiring rentals and giving up, you know, the few prospects that they do have available, but right. I do think that they're in a position where they can, you know, look to see what they can acquire. And now the second question is, what do they need?
Yeah.
I think I said on Twitter the other day, and this is when they had Miller and Pettersson playing on separate lines. They kind of need a 2010 Alex Burrows, and they need a 2015 Chris Tanev.
Okay.
Right? Because that Miller line, you know, was kind of missing the, you know, DiGiuseppe works on that line, but DiGiuseppe is realistically a fourth liner. Yeah. You need kind of a guy that plays that type of game, you know, a la Alex Burrows 2010, right? A guy that can finish off chances, play in a top six role, and forecheck and get extra looks for the two other more talented guys on his line, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I see, you know, there's 2023 Chris Tanev is available, but you know, you'd prefer that might be nice, but you'd prefer 2015 Chris Tanev, right?
Yeah.
A guy that can play big minutes on the back end, that can block shots fearlessly, that can be a matchup defenseman, you know, play against the other team's top lines, shut them down, move the puck. Like that's a dream, and be right-handed, right? Like all of those things is kind of what you want, I think, for this team as well. I know they've got the top six D now that all have, you know, they all have contracts that say they should be, you know, everyday players. But I sort of view the Canucks that they have a number one defenseman, they have a number two defenseman, they have, you know, maybe two, you know, they have like a number four defenseman maybe, and then like they've got three number five defensemen, right? Like they're kind of missing that number three, that true bona fide second pair of D. I think they're missing that. So if you could get a time machine and get those two guys, that'd be great. Failing that, I think you try to get as close to those two types of players and bring them into your lineup. And if, you know, if the winger is easy to acquire and you can do it, and the player has maybe a little bit term, maybe not an onerous contract, you do it.
Right.
Or if there's a defenseman available, you try to do that. So that's sort of where I'm coming from. But I don't think you want to be, you know, they've got guys that they need to re-sign after the year. I don't think you want to be trading, you know, really valuable future assets for guys that come in the door and then you have to lose a free agent. So you don't really win on that deal long-term.
Right. So Patrick Alvin, you heard it first right here from Rob. He says, go find 2010 Burrows and go find 2015 Tanev. And then we'll be set. One more question, Rob, and then we'll get to the people. Refresh my memory. Were you in the locker room last season as well, or this season only, or last season as well?
Yeah. Last season also. Yeah.
I'm really curious. I hopefully this doesn't catch you off guard. Do you sense a difference in mentality and in mood this season as opposed to last season? I'm really curious. I like those kind of nuances and stuff. If there's anything to share, or is it the same? Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I'll say is the whole dressing room post game thing has changed quite a bit. I would say post COVID.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like you guys remember the Zoom pressers afterwards during COVID, where you just have one guy comes out and another guy comes out. It's kind of not that dissimilar to that now, where it's kind of like bring out a guy and everyone sort of swarms the one player. Yeah. Whereas there was a bit more of just opening up the room and people would go all over the place. Right. Within the room and had more people available. So it's sort of changed a little bit, I would say. So you don't go. So I don't know if I think, you know, fans maybe think of like reporters going into the room and there's all this like hubbub going around. There's not a lot of that anymore. And pre-COVID, there was a bit more of that where, you know, there was more things going on in terms of, mood and attitude. I would say, I must commend the Canucks on this. They have a real business-like attitude about things. Like you can just see they do not want to get too high.
Right.
They don't want to get too low. They don't want to make too much of anything.
As if they haven't accomplished anything yet, right? That's kind of like their mentality.
Yeah, I mean, inevitably, like, you know, after a win, they're gonna be happier, and after a loss, they're gonna be, you know, not as happy, and. But at the same time, like they're not hooting and hollering after wins. Like they're not joking around very much. And I think that's, you know, maybe a testament to Rick Tocchet and him, you know, having them all kind of focused and thinking the right way. But I think it's also a little bit about, especially with their star players, like these are guys that have lost a lot of games. They've had a really tough time in the last few years, and they're finally winning, and they want this to continue. So that's sort of how I read the situation. They're not like, remember 2010, 2011 when Kessler was like, he was doing the Kessler bombs, or he's like in the background eating pizza and stuff. Like, there's none of that in the room. And I just think it's, a bit of the fact that they've had those failures in the past, and they've come just hyper focused this season.
Well said. No, that's pretty cool. That's neat to hear. And yeah, I do like their workmanlike attitude in that they don't want to get too high because they truly haven't accomplished anything just yet. Okay, for the last 5 to 7 minutes, let's pepper Rob with two or three questions. So I'm gonna scour the chat now or get one in right now. This is Rob Williams of Daily Hive, and he's been with us for the past 40 minutes, breaking down this Canucks game, looking ahead at what the next 2 months might hold for this team that we are so enamored with right now. So I want to be enamored by your questions. So let's get some questions in for Rob, and we'll ask him right before he goes. Okay, first one from Fangirl. Would you trade Friedman at the deadline for depth or a draft pick? He's not getting a lot of chances in the lineup recently. And I guess the second part to that, or should we keep him for the depth that we might need in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think he's the depth kind of guy you want, right? Like, I don't think he's going to have, they got him off waivers. I don't think he's going to have a huge trade value. I don't know what you get for him at the deadline, the seventh round pick. I'm not sure you really want to do that. I think it's nice to have an extra defenseman around to, having him in the number eight role, perfect. They're not going to be healthy forever on defense. We know this from, if you Canucks fans know this, right? Their defense is almost never healthy. So I think there's going to be a situation where, Friedman gets in the games this season, and it's good to have that kind of a depth guy available. When he came over after the trade, I thought he looked really good. They had him in a top four role for briefly right after the trade. That didn't necessarily last, but I do think that it's nice to have a spare piece that you can have some confidence playing.
Awesome. Chris asks, had to pick one team. Who do you think the Canucks are going to meet in the first round?
I'm putting my Canucks fan hat on here, and then and when you do that, you just expect the worst, right? You expect Vegas in the first round, right? Like, they have this fantastic season, and of course who do they end up playing? They play Vegas in the first round. I think it, I'm not. I mean, I think Vegas probably in the end takes first spot in the Pacific, and you end up with the Canucks playing LA in the first round, and that'll be a really difficult matchup. But yeah, I guess if I had to guess, that'd be my guess, but I'm not uber confident on it. It's a tight race.
Yeah, absolutely. You think we can shake another question from BIGT? I don't know, that's Big T, whatever it is. Do you think we can shake Elias Lindholm free from Calgary? Although, doesn't he want like $9 million or something for his next contract?
That's a tough one. Yeah, I just think that's so tough to be bringing a piece like that just based on what their cap situation is, and Pettersson and Hronek needing new deals. I think that's going to be a tough one, and you're going to have to give up a lot of assets to get a player like that in. So, like, what, are you willing to trade like Lekkerimäki or somebody like that? Like, guys like Lindholm don't come cheap. So I don't think they're in the market for that type of player. I think they're in the market for, a tier below that.
Sure, fair enough. A couple more. Lefty All Around asks, may I ask your guess? Yes, you can. May I ask your guess if he thinks D-Man Juleson is worth a second round pick at this point? And I'll prelude this by saying, I guess the answer is similar to the Friedman answer, is these are the kind of guys you want as depth in the playoffs, because I don't think you're getting a second rounder for Noel Juleson as well as he's played.
No, the Noah Juleson hype train has left the station, clearly. No, no, the second round pick is not happening for Juleson. I think you'd be lucky to get a seventh round pick. Somebody would like him, just right before the playoffs to add a depth piece as a seventh or eighth D-man. But yeah, no, that he's in the right spot for this is the right spot for Juleson to be in, to be a number seven defenseman on an NHL team. I'm sure he's thrilled with being in that spot right now.
Yeah, and you just think the last time the Canucks were in the finals in 11, Hamhuis got hurt, hip-checking Lucic, and Rome got suspended, right? So then that's why you had to bring in, I can't remember who came in for them. Was it like Albert?
Chris Tanev was a call-up from Manitoba that year. And yeah, they had guys like, who do they have? Andrew Albert.
Keith Ballard, yeah.
Like, you know, and Aaron Rome and Ballard and all these guys. Yeah. So you're going to need, you know, you're going to need a lot of bodies. You know, if you hope to make a long playoff run, it's very rare to be able to march through the playoffs and keep all your defensemen intact. Like they take a beating, you know, from the opposition. So you're inevitably going to have injuries. So it's good to have extras.
Yeah. Awesome. And then, finally there's another question. So I got one last one there and then we'll wrap up. When you see Hughes tonight, I was just thinking off the top of my head, I see Hughes versus Fox. Fox is a former Norris trophy winner. Yeah, of course, Cale Makar has won one, and Quinn Hughes is the only one of the, I guess, and Darlene, they haven't won it either. But do you take joy or do you care when you see Hughes outplay or play just as well as these other guys that have technically more NHL accolades than, or do you not worry about it and just, it's going to happen? If it happens, it kind of happens. Because as a fan, I'm not a reporter like you, I get totally proud and defensive, and I want Hughes so much to be respected and all that kind of thing. And maybe he is. He's going to the NHL All-Star game. But do you care? Do you notice those kind of things, or just kind of let it be?
Yeah, oh yeah. I think all these things matter, I think Canucks fans, you know, desperately want Hughes to get his due, because I think, you know, the reputation that has kind of followed him has been undeserved. And he's somehow got this reputation that he's not a Norris Trophy level defenseman. I thought I can't remember what position he finished in the Norris Trophy voting. I think it was like seventh or eighth or something like that.
Yeah.
I had him third on my ballot, and there weren't a ton of people that had him top three.
Yeah.
So to have, you know, I don't think you're going to see, I think you're going to see a lot more respect for Hughes, given the way the Canucks have played, given the attention he's received around the league. I think even just having the C on his chest, I think that's going to, like, that just changes the perception. You know, like, these voting for these awards are, you know, they're NHL writers and reporters that, you know, let's be realistic. Like, they're not watching every Vancouver Canucks game, right? Like, they're watching the highlights. They're watching a few games, you know, so there's reputation goes into this, right? Stats go into it. So I think that every little thing matters. And I think, especially if you have like a strong start to the season, that kind of builds momentum for your case. And I think that that's what's happened with Hughes. And I mean, he has taken a step from last season. I think there's no doubt about that. Like, this is his finest season in the NHL. And I think that, you know, he's making a very, very strong case for the Norris Trophy. And yeah, like, you know, when he, you know, remember when they played Colorado and Makar had that massive game, it was kind of like a not so fast Quinn kind of game, right? Yeah. Like, to have one where Quinn outplays Fox was great to see.
Yeah, and as we're wrapping up here, I see Thomas Drantz and Jay Fresh fighting on X about it right now, but we can look at that later. Well, Rob, this is awesome. This is a very quick 50 minutes. I'm so grateful for your time and your willingness to say yes. I know you have a lot of responsibilities, especially running your own media and your own website. But the fact that you were able to hang out with us here on SDPN, we're very grateful. So once again, let's do this. Tell everyone where they can follow all your work. I'll do a quick wrap up and then we'll be off. So where can people follow all your good stuff?
Yeah. Shout out to Noah Strang. He's written the post game for us tonight. So you can catch his post gamer up on Daily Hive. But I can't remember your question.
Oh yeah. And follow
find
you.
Find me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Rob the Hockey Guy and dailyhive.com.
Awesome. And for all of you watching, make sure you follow Rob. You can get me at Canuck Clay on your way out. Hit the subscribe button, SDPN. We're only 500 away from 100,000, which is pretty cool. And make sure that you like the stream as well. Like the fact that we got a cool guest, we got a cool host, and the Canucks won 6-3, not 5-3. Like I so embarrassingly said at the start of the show. Tomorrow night, love me or hate me, you're stuck with me again. I'll have up-and-coming YouTuber, Canucks YouTuber, Rev Trev, Trevor Kempner joining me to break down the Canucks versus the Islanders. It starts half an hour later than today's game, so just bump everything by half an hour. I should be online somewhere around 7:15 tomorrow night. So I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your night. Hope you are able to watch the game tomorrow. Follow Rob, follow me, and go to bed smiling because the Canucks are number two in the entire NHL. Stay safe, stay healthy, take care of yourselves, and take care of each other. Good night. And go Canucks, go.